Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. This actually is hour number 3, so a little reminder. If you would like to have started a little earlier, you can start at 8 o'clock. Go to our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button at the top right hand of the page, and you can see where we are for all 4 hours of live call-in Leading Edge Medicine. lmclinic.com, podcast button, and there you go. Jerry, you started off our first hour a couple hours ago with sort of a recap on the virus, and I think it would be very smart to do that again right now.
Okay, we can do that. It wasn't so much the virus as it was the vaccine and my suggestions for a vaccine protocol. You know, we've got something like 140 different companies with vaccines in the process of being produced, and four of them in the United States have now gotten in the middle of phase 3 trials, which is the final trial before asking for approval. So we've got at least one that will probably apply for emergency approval at the end of October or the first week of November. So, and the other two will probably come in, or the other three, sometime in November and or early December. So by the first of the year, we should have four. The trick is, who do we vaccinate first, and how much vaccine will we have available, and who will we be allowed to give it to? So those are all kind of interrelated problems. First of all, there's going to be a significant amount of vaccine produced. At least three, and I think all four of those companies, have contracts with the federal government where they have put up, you know, over $1 billion each to have them go ahead and start production of their vaccines even before they get approval. So there is a very good chance that in November we should have about 100 million doses available.
Good.
Yes. Now, you got to recognize the UN does not want those to come to the United States. They want them scattered around all the rest of the world. Mr. Trump's position is, we paid for them. They're ours.
Of course, and they are. So,
well, you know, they wouldn't have been developed had the feds not put up the money. The British and the French and the Germans and the other guys didn't put up the money. They wanted the vaccine. They just wanted someone else to pay for it. It's kind of like they are with NATO.
Well, but it's not like they are, period.
Yeah. But at any rate, the vaccines are being produced right now, even though they have not yet been approved. The approval process, though, the law allows for emergency approval for high-risk people. That's me, by the way.
That's all right.
The question is, how are you going to define high risk? You know, we're kind of back in the same situation we were with Bill Clinton, and it depends on what the meaning of is.
Okay.
what is high risk? The fact is that in the United States overall, 50% of all of our deaths are from nursing home patients. Nursing home patients are 0.6% of our population. Okay. So a small percentage of the American population accounts for 50% of our deaths. And in some states like New Hampshire, it's 70+% of the deaths. So just treating 0.6% of our population could decrease our risk of deaths by half.
Wow.
Now, in Washington State, we're losing right now 6 people a day.
Much better than what, the 20?
In April, we were losing 27 people a day. So we've dropped from 27 a day to 6 a day.
But half of those 6 is what you're saying.
But half of those 6 are nursing home patients. So if we just treated the people in the nursing homes and no one else, we cut that to 3 deaths a day, which is a big improvement. But here's another even better one. 15.2% of the American population is over 65. People over 65 include that nursing home population, of course.
Sure.
People over 65 account for 93% of the deaths.
My golly.
So if we were to simply treat 15% of the population, we cut our death rate by 93%.
That's what, 50 million, 45 million?
About 52 million people.
52 million, okay.
Well, the first month, they're figuring we'll have 100 million doses available just in November.
So it's now just a matter of who gets what when.
Who gets what when. If in November we gave 15% of our population, everyone over 65, their first dose, we could cut our death rate by 93%.
My goodness.
See, we've been talking about herd immunity and needing to, immunize, you know, 70, 80% of the population. But you can get control with a lot less than that. You, instead of targeting the general population, you target the people at high risk. You know, the effective risk for children under 12 is zip, zero.
I suppose there's still some parents that would give
their
kids.
Sure.
But would you recommend it?
I wouldn't put them at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Their chances of dying are 0.0001 chance of dying. under 12, if they get any symptoms, it's more likely to be a runny nose and a cough for a few days. I mean, many more children die of the flu than die of COVID. Okay. COVID is really tough on old folks. It's pretty darn benign in children. So you give the vaccine to the old folks first. You know, in my house, of course, I've got an 8-year-old who's in the 3rd grade and she goes to school. She's not in public school. She goes to a private school. So she actually gets to sit down with the teacher every day, all day.
Yeah.
You know, for me, her education is important and I follow the science. She's at no significant risk. If there's risk, it's of her bringing it home to me. She can pick up the virus.
Yeah.
She won't get sick. She can give it to daddy.
Yeah.
Most daddies of 8-year-olds are in their 20s. They're at very low risk. I happen to be a daddy of an 8-year-old at 73. Okay, I'm at higher risk. So for me, it's important to stay lean and strong and fit and keep my immune system robust so that if I get it, I'll have something more like the flu than will, you know, I won't end up in an ICU probably. But if I could get my vaccine, I'd sure like it, you know. So if we were to treat everyone over 65, which is about 52 million people in America, all of the morbidly obese and the diabetics.
Many of them in the over 65.
Also in the over 65 group.
Right.
So you don't have that many. You're under 100 million. You're fewer doses than will be made before the vaccine's approved. Okay. When they approve it at the end of October, early November, there will be 100 million doses available. There's enough in that first batch to treat everyone over 65, all diabetics, all morbidly obese. And by just treating that subset of people, we drop our death rate by 99%.
My golly. So who makes the decision on
politicians?
Who gets it? What politicians? Congress?
Who knows? You know, Congress is going to scream and yell and put other thing. It's the executive branch, really. But then again, you've got it's the FDA and the CDC. But you have to remember, within the FDA and the CDC, there is a subset of never-Trumpers. who, no matter what Mr. Trump says, are going to say, that's terrible, that's awful, we don't want it. And they are in positions of power. So I don't know. I don't know what the decisions will be. If I were king and I could make my decision, everyone over 65, every diabetic, everyone morbidly obese would get the first doses. We get them all in November, drop our death rate by 99%, and move on with life.
Boy, that would be exciting.
Yep.
Well, let's just hope all this information that you just shared gets out to the broad public, and there'd be some pressure.
But we would hope.
The right politicians, but you never know. I have failed to give out the phone number for people who would like to call in, even though we've already got a couple of callers. One who has a question about acid reflux, another about artificial sweeteners and strokes. But we've got two other lines available, folks, if you would like to call in with your questions for the one and only Dr. Jerry Mixon. Here's the toll-free number, 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. And really, anything goes. Maybe you've got a question about your own health, maybe the health of a loved one, a spouse, a parent, a child, you name it. Anything goes. 1-888-312-5757. I'm going to suggest we go to a break just about a minute and a half early so I don't have to interrupt anybody during a call with questions and then the answers. So you call us at 1-888-312-5757, and we'll be back before you know it. Josette from Woodinville is up next with a question about acid reflux. And then Bob from Gig Harbor, artificial sweeteners and strokes. What's the relationship? Is there a relationship between artificial sweeteners and strokes? You're going to have to wait and see.
Hi, longevity friends. I learn something from you every week. I'm so glad you're on the radio.
Well, now it takes more than a robin to make the weather go. And it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
But it takes two hearts of cooking.
Hey, welcome back. 18 minutes past the hour. The lady who just did the intro for a Brooke Benton there, one of my all-time favorite singers, by the way, said that she listens to the show every week, Jerry, and that she learns something every week. We have people, this sounds odd, but they've been listening for over 20 years now. We started the program in 1999, so a solid 21 years you have been on the radio every Saturday morning. And I might add, I can almost say every Saturday morning. There are very, very few Saturdays that we do pre-recorded shows, whether you're in China or Europe or who knows where, we do this show live. So we're glad, folks, that you listen in and that you gain some good information. That's what the show's here for. So let's continue that history and go to Woodinville and talk with Josette. Good morning, Josette.
Hi there. Say, Pete, I enjoy the music you play, too.
Ooh, thank you, thank you. We love it.
Okay, I'm calling for my husband, David. we've been working with Dr. Kazura on this acid reflux issue. And, you know, we have the list of all the offending foods not to eat, spicy and all this other stuff. And he went for a whole month with no problems. And we've got the smoke and everything going on. What my husband liked to do is after dinner, he'd like to go for a walk. So instead of just sitting down, we'd go for a walk, come back. With all the smoke, that's out of the question. And I've kept the dinners small portions. What gets me, and I forgot to ask Kazura, is he'll have his meal, and 4 hours later is when the acid reflux starts. I don't understand this time lag.
That is odd.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, usually it's right after meals, especially if they'll sit or lay down. So
right.
Is what's he doing physically 4 hours later? I mean, it's almost time for a new meal.
Well, so. After dinner, he'll sit down and relax and watch TV, watch football, whatever.
Okay. But I'm talking about when the reflux begins, 4 hours after his meal. What's he doing then?
He's probably still in front of the TV.
Right. Shame on him. Shame on him. Get
yeah,
his butt up and
him,
moving.
But, you know, we eat about 4 o'clock, and so 4 hours later, you're looking at 8 or 9, it's time for
sure.
bed.
Now, that's true. It is getting dark about that now, this time of year. Boy, I was up at 6 this morning, and it was pitch black out, except I could see the lights crystal clear across the lake. The rain hadn't come in yet. It was actually quite pretty. Okay. It sounds like he's doing good stuff. After eating, is he getting up and you said he's taking walks. How big a walk is he taking after he eats?
Oh, a good 45-minute walk.
Okay. Well, that's great. That usually is more than enough to get the peristalsis going and move the stuff out of his stomach. If he's having pain 4 hours later, the question is it food reflux or pure acid reflux? That's kind of what I'm thinking, is if he's refluxing digestive juices. Unless he's a diabetic with gastroparesis, his stomach should be empty 4 hours later.
Right,
so,
and he doesn't. I'm one that complains that after I eat, I feel a sensation of fullness for a good 2-3 hours. Not him.
Yeah.
An hour later, he's, you know, maybe gonna go in the kitchen and start.
Okay.
looking
well, but
for
then,
things to
well, that's the other question: is he actually eating again? Is his 4 hours after eating not truly 4 hours after eating? Is he snacking and piecing, you know, 3 hours up the road?
No, because I complained to him, because going to your clinic, you're not supposed to eat 3 hours before going to bed. So he gets in trouble by me if he does that.
Good. Okay. So you use that nag phrase that's in the marriage contract. I approve. Thank you.
And he's not a diabetic. You know, we've been going to your clinic 12 years now. He has no trouble mm-hmm. with that.
Okay. Yeah, in my wife's marriage contract, it says she is to love, honor, and keep me straight.
Okay.
So,
I like that.
You know, I'm not sure what's going on here then. I'm quite sure Dr. Kazura has given you a long list, because this is one of those areas that Chris is usually pretty aggressive about. So.
Yeah, well, he said you better get it under control in a month or you're going to get in to see a gastroenterologist. We had it under control a little over a month, and then it started up again. I don't know, it's just the lack of not being able to walk after dinner, mm-hmm. you know, because of the smoke. I mean, it's been a good week. And he has been doing some work outside on the deck when he did, and so you're bent over, that's, you know, compresses
the stomach,
over. And I could understand that.
Sure. What's his weight like? Is he heavy? Has he got a belly?
No. Like I say, we've been going to your clinic 12 years. That's not allowed.
All right.
He's 6'2", and he weighs 185 pounds.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So we don't really have abdominal compression. We don't have obesity. We don't have diabetes. So all the common things are there. Now, getting some imaging studies, going to see a gastroenterologist and evaluating him for a hiatus hernia is probably the next step.
That is the other thing Kazura had mentioned.
Yeah, because, you know, if he's got a hiatal hernia, then he's going to get reflux even if he does everything else right, because that valve at the top of the stomach is just effectively missing. The diaphragm, the hole that the esophagus goes through, may be too large.
And fortunately, that could be very easily dealt with.
Yes. They used to be this was a big, big surgery. But now, with the laparoscopic repairs, a laparoscopic nisimplication, where they just poke a couple little holes in the tummy, go in with a scope, pull the stomach down, put a couple of staples or one or two stitches across that defect, and it's pretty much fixed. When things go right, it's an in-and-out procedure, and it fixes it one day. So, you know, given the fact that he's already doing everything else right, it sounds like, I think the probability of him having a hiatus hernia is relatively high. So I think he needs to go in and get evaluated and find out if that's the case or not.
Okay. Well, you've answered my question, and thank you for all you do. I listen faithfully every Saturday.
So, well, thank you, ma'am. It's nice to know somebody's out there, you know.
Oh, God, otherwise, there's a lot of us.
Okay.
Thanks, Josette.
Thanks an awful lot, Josette. I appreciate it.
Good call.
Bye-bye.
Good question. Let's go to Gig Harbor and talk to Bob. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Hey, I listen faithfully, too, to your podcasts. I wouldn't miss them. Can you hear me fine?
We hear you just fine. Yes. You thank you, sir. Okay. How can I help you today?
Jerry, you talk about artificial sweeteners and increased stroke rate. I understand more research is needed in that area. I'd like to know your expert opinion on what you think might be why artificial sweeteners are associated with a higher stroke rate.
Okay. Well, first, let me go over the study that actually brought this to everyone's attention. And this was a subset of the Women's Health Initiative study that was published back in 2001. And then they've used that data set and gone back multiple times since then and looked at it. And the last one I saw was about 2015 or so. They looked at 81,700 women. That was the number. 81,700 women that consumed varying amounts of artificial sweeteners. And they broke them down into groups. About 5% of the women consume more than five drinks a day, and some only one a week or less. It turns out that when you compare the people that don't drink it at all or have less than one artificially sweetened drink per week to women who have two or more drinks per day, okay, so two is the magic number. At two or more drinks per day, you increase your risk of stroke by about 32%. So, you know, it's almost a one-third increase in stroke incidence by consuming two drinks a day as opposed to less than one a week. And it is longitudinal. When you get up to three, four, five a day, which are the really high users, the incidence of stroke goes up significantly from there. So there is a clear correlation. Interestingly, it's small vessel strokes. It's not the big vessels. It's not the big carotid arteries that thrombose, and it's not hemorrhagic strokes. They don't bleed into their brain. They're clots, but they tend to be small vessel clots. Now, the good news for that is that small vessel clots do less damage because they are smaller vessels. They kill a smaller piece of the brain. That's the good news. The bad news is we have less effective or less success in dissolving those clots. So, the plus and the minus. Now, what you're asking is mechanism. There, I'm purely in speculation. Okay, I don't have studies that have clearly elucidated the mechanism. We have things we are thinking might be involved. It turns out that we don't just have sweet receptors in our mouths, on our tongues. We actually have sweet receptors throughout our body. There's something about when we taste sweet, signals go to our brain, and it alters our entire metabolism. Your body doesn't know anything about artificial sweeteners, of course. If you were going to be eating sweeteners, it would mean you were eating beets or you were eating cane sugar or you were eating honey, all of which were pretty rare for most of the human race, for most of human history. But when you eat something sweet, your body is expecting a big influx of sugar. And so it changes the chemistry of your entire body to get ready to handle that high caloric load that's supposed to come in through the gut, hit the liver, and be distributed to the rest of your body. So you ramp up your insulin production. You get everything ready for the sugar. But with the artificial sweeteners, the sugar never comes. So you get all of the metabolic changes ready to handle a load of sugar that's supposed to be coming in, and it never comes. And so you end up with all of these mechanisms designed to drive down sugar, and there's no sugar to drive down. And so you end up basically producing localized hypoglycemic reactions. And it turns out the small vessels in the brain contract. One of their reactions to a sudden sugar load is to get smaller. And those smaller vessels clot more easily when there's less blood flow in them. So,
and would you say this would be true of artificial sweeteners in if that you might put in coffee or tea, as or mostly
yes.
carbonated?
No, if that is the mechanism, and that's what the docs that I have talked to we think is probably happening. Again, we can be wrong. All right.
Sure.
But we think that's probably what's happening. And so it wouldn't matter whether you put it in coffee or tea or a soft drink or whatever. But remember, it does tend to be an almost linear relationship with how often you pound your system with artificial sweeteners. Once a week doesn't give us a statistically significant rise. Two a day does. Anything above two a day does it even worse.
I have a friend, actually, I'm seeing him again here later this week. Haven't seen him for a while, but he used to brag that Diet Pepsi was the elixir of the gods, he said, and he drank 8 to 10 a day.
8 to 10 a day?
He did.
Good.
And he said he'd been doing, I said, come on.
And where is he buried?
I won't tell you what he does, but he's around.
He's still around. All right. Yeah, good.
Very empty.
And able to speak and move. And good. That number scares me. And I disagree with him. Elixir of the gods is mocha.
Okay.
Sugar, caffeine,
okay.
Chocolate.
All right.
That is the elixir of the gods.
Or the demons. One or the other.
One more quick question, Jerry. What is it
sure.
about metformin twice a day do you think that might increase longevity?
A couple of things, but it's a sirtuin 1 inhibitor. The sirtuin genes are involved in longevity and cellular reproduction and apoptosis. And metformin inhibits the overproduction of sirtuin. So it's a... going into the biochemistry gets a little deep for this show, but basically it impacts the rate at which our cells reproduce and die. And we've just found that in diabetics who use metformin twice a day, they actually live longer than non-diabetics, which is really good news.
Hey, Bob, that was an excellent call with some very interesting answers. Jerry, isn't there also a relationship with artificial sweeteners and heart attacks?
No, that's sugar.
Oh, just sugar.
High sugar loads. Sweetened drinks with sugar increase your risk of cardiovascular and gastric disease.
All right.
Not stroke.
All right. Strokes, artificial sweeteners. Heart attacks, sugars.
Yes.
But not artificial. Well, all right. But still.
Hey, it's trade-offs. Every choice has ups and downs.
Now, what you can take from this is don't drink 7 or 8 Diet Pepsis a day.
Or don't drink 7 or 8 sugar drinks either.
Well, that's true. We'll be right back.
They called you about the health analysis that I took a year ago. I went to the Linwood office, and I must tell you, your staff is so amazing. At Longevity, they talk to you. They make you understand what's going on, and they give you the numbers so you have a starting point. And that's what I love about coming to you guys.
I wish you could see this, folks. He's dancing, and it's not that bad.
No, it's not.
No.
Hey, I'm a dancing fool.
Well, part of that's right. Here we go.
Is it the dancing
welcome
or
back,
the fool?
Everybody. Well, Pete Talbot here, and I'm with the dancing Dr. Jerry Mixon. Usually we got Dr. Samira Umat, who dances literally.
Yes.
Like for 3 of the 4 hours.
Absolutely.
I think it's part of her aerobic.
Her aerobic activity? Yeah, yeah, that's right. Activity. Me, I like the bangles. She wears lots of bangles on her wrists. I just like the way they jingle when she dances.
She's from India.
That's right.
And we love her. But she is with her family today. Mm-hmm. I forgot to tell you
that. Kids are all off to college.
And this is her last.
This is their last weekend with all the kids at home. Yes. So she's going to spend today home with the kids.
That's right. Probably lots of tears and fun times, too. Okay. I have some really good news. I should have done this earlier in the hour. I wouldn't say joked about the lack of availability of our free health analysis appointments, but I get to be a hero today. In the past, we've often told you, well, there's only 3 appointments available for the entire month, and you know, at each of our clinics. And when people go, it just there's not enough, not a good enough selection, and it's been frustrating. Well, I'm happy to tell you, I told you we're growing, we're expanding, we're adding staff. It's really quite exciting because people in growing numbers are realizing this is the time they need to get serious about their health. It's just, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing at Longevity. Well, I'm happy to tell you now, we opened the calendar for the free health analysis appointments through the middle of October. All right? So not quite a month, but the majority of the appointments, we have like almost 12, 13 appointments in each, maybe even 15 or so in each of our 3 clinics. So that's very, very good news. Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. And now, admittedly, most of those are in now October. There's virtually nothing available in September, but that's okay. So you'll have to wait 3, maybe 4 weeks. But they're available. At least now when you go, there'll be a nice selection, so it'll fit your calendar. And you won't be mad at me. Or us. And so good variety. And we are still offering through October, at least we are offering a special incentive. We are doubling down. We're so excited about the growth of Longevity. We are still offering you $100 of free Longevity supplements, but even better, you can either have the $100 of free supplements or you can select our 2 free fitness books and our fitness bands that a lot of people really like. All of our patients at Longevity get these, but we'll give them to you as a little thank you for making a free health analysis appointment. And, of course, you get the 2 free tests, the blood test, and the special in-body test as well. So this is the time. Like never before, I'm happy to say you go now to our website, lmclinic.com, and you're going to be a happy camper. You'll have a good selection. You'll find something. You know, for husbands and wives or couples, get 2 that are close together, like back-to-back. Save yourself a trip.
Unless you don't want your mate to know. Well, what's your percentage of body fat is?
You know, that is true for some women in particular.
It has always amazed me that there are a shocking number of women that don't want their husband to know what they weigh.
Yeah.
Do they think he's blind?
I don't know.
He can't see them?
I don't know.
The number is the number. It is. There are women who will not come to an appointment with their husband because they don't want him to know.
And we accommodate.
We'll accommodate it. We'll put you in on different days if you want.
I have to tell you, the appointments are so encouraging and so informationally packed. I want Vicky to know my numbers and where I am because she's my partner.
Yes.
And we can work together.
And I depend on her to keep you alive because I don't want you dying on me.
That's right. And I appreciate that. And so as far as I'm concerned, it's always best to come with your spouse.
Yes, absolutely.
But you don't have to, you don't have to.
No. Ben Dean doesn't mind looking at my numbers. They frustrate her because my percentage of body fat is, you know, down in the mid-teens. Mm-hmm. And being a woman, hers are higher because women run higher percentages. They have more subcutaneous fat.
Okay.
So when you do the in-body, you know, the same number for men and women means different things. Women in the low to mid-20s is perfectly fine. You know, guys in the mid-20s is a problem. So, you know, so don't compare numbers. What you want to do
is
compare where the ranges ought to be.
Yeah, guys, you can't brag if your numbers are a little
lower than your right. No, because you're male, they're supposed to be less.
That's right.
You know, so we continue.
In any event, really, folks, come together, come privately, individually, what have you, it doesn't matter. All I'm saying is really good news. This is the first time in a long time I've been able to say, hey, go to our website. There's plenty of appointments. You won't be upset. There's a good selection. And I don't know how long I'll be able to say that, but that's the way it is right now.
Yep.
So through middle, I think it's like the 16th of October, middle of next month. So go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push the little button. It's right in the middle of the homepage to schedule your own appointment. And like I said, you even get your choice of $100 of longevity supplements or the two fitness books, which we've written here, well, Jerry mainly, the fitness books and the fitness bands. Your choice. So you can pick. A little thank you just for believing us. We know that if you measure, if you allow us to measure, we do it for free, then you'll have a basic understanding as it relates to some of your basic health risk. It's then that you can make a decision as to whether you want to become a member at Longevity. That's pretty cool, and we hope you'll do it. Let's go to Des Moines and talk to Larry. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My wife and I have been patients at the clinic for some 17 years.
Thank you.
We also use the services of Doctors McKay, Nelson, and Gilbert.
So, well, how about that?
Just want you to know that we rely on your recommendations quite a lot. I'm 80 years old in relatively good physical shape, but I've recently been diagnosed with colon cancer.
Oh, dear.
And my question today is would you have a recommendation as to what the best approach would be to this as to how we proceed with treatment, surgery, chemo, so forth, or who we should use?
Yeah. Okay, well, the recommendations are going to depend on the tumor. You know, how aggressive it appears to be, how large it is, whether or not there is metastasis. So when was your diagnosis made?
Last Thursday.
Okay, so recent, just 2 days ago, or are we talking about a week in 2 days?
Yes.
2 days ago.
2 days ago, right.
Okay, and how was the diagnosis made?
Through a colonoscopy.
Okay.
It's adenocarcinoma.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so the ascending colon at the top of the ascending colon.
Okay. So it's up near the hepatic flexure. Okay. And this was a polypoid lesion, or did it appear to have invaded the wall?
I don't think it was a polyp. I think it was several centimeters in size. That's all I know.
All right. Well, if it's several centimeters in size, it's gone beyond the polyp. See, normally what happens with adenocarcinoma of the colon is we start with a polyp. And then most of the time, up at the tip of the polyp is where the cancer forms. And then it spreads down the polyp, down the stalk, and then invades the wall of the colon. So if you've got something that's several centimeters across, it's been there for a while, and it is now down in the wall of the colon. And the other worrisome part is if it's at the top of the ascending colon, it means it's right under the liver, which, you know, makes me worry about direct extension through the wall and involving the liver, which would complicate our life significantly. Step one, they've got to get in. They've got to do some imaging studies. They want to look and see if they see evidence through radionucleotide studies, perhaps, of tumor that has spread. They're probably, if they haven't done it already, will be setting you up for some MRIs, looking at
I'm set for a CT scan this coming week.
Okay, so they'll be doing...
Of the abdomen and lungs.
Good, okay, because those are common areas of spread. And they'll be doing what's called an enhanced CT. They'll be injecting some things or having you drink some liquids that will concentrate.
Right, I've got the liquid.
Yeah. And those are chemicals that will concentrate in the tumor and make them show up on the CT better. So they're following exactly what, for what it's worth. Remember, this is not my field of expertise, but it sounds like your oncologist and I are thinking the same here. Which says either I'm smarter than I thought or your oncologist is dumber. We'll find out which. Okay. At some point, they're going to need to go in and resect that lesion. They have to go in and cut it out. And depending on how much they see that is involved on the CT scans and when they're actually there hands-on, will determine whether or not they're going to be doing a diversion of your colon, giving you a colostomy for some period of time. Sometimes, if they don't have to resect too much of the colon, that colostomy can be taken down later and basically put your bowel back together. My mother, when she had her colon cancer 20 years ago, was lucky in that her lesion was small enough that they were able to resect, and she only had her colostomy for 6 or 8 months. And then they were able to put things back together, which she was very grateful for. And hopefully you'll be that lucky. If not, well, we live with what we got to live with. Better to live with it than to die.
What the surgeon tells me is that they're planning a colonectomy, and they're planning on removing about 18 inches of the colon and attaching it during the surgery.
Okay. Good. Well, let's see where they can go. You know, I mean, he has seen your studies thus far, and he's got a far better idea of what he can and can't manage. The biggest question is going to be whether or not it has spread, and if so, where? Because that's what's going to determine.
You don't know that until you get in there?
You don't know that until... The biopsy is going to be a big part, but the imaging studies, those CTs they're doing, are going to be critical, because that's going to be looking for spread to your lung, your diaphragm, your liver. You know, if they're getting hot spots in these other areas, then we're in a lot more trouble than if it's all localized.
Okay.
So that CT is going to be a very important part of your workup. And then after the CT, they may or may not want to set up a series of MRIs. You know, MRIs with positron emission can give us even more information.
Yeah, I have not talked to an oncologist yet, just a surgeon and my gastro doctor.
Okay.
So,
well, they're fine for the beginning of this workup. And then if you've got spread, if there's worry that you've got metastasis, then the oncologist is going to get very involved.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay, well, I wish you luck, my friend. After all, you've been with us 17 years. I'd like you to stay with us another 17.
Thank you, Larry. And I just should point out, my dad they discovered a tumor in his colon the size of a softball, they said, which seemed pretty dramatic. And the original doctor gave him 6 to 12 weeks to live, and he lived another 21 years.
Yep.
And so there's lots that can be done, and you just keep.
That's right. This is worrisome, but don't let it get you down, because we got a good chance of fixing it.
That's right. Hey, we'll be back. And again, thank you, Larry. That opens up a line. If you've got a question for Dr. Mixon, this is a great time to call 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. When we come back, a question about AFib. You don't want to go anywhere, do you?
I've been a longevity patient at the Tacoma Clinic a little over 3 months. So I've lost a bunch of weight, improved libido. I quit drinking wine, which was not easy. I really appreciate what you do.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people. And
get ready, everybody, sing it.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving.
Loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, 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 loving. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
That is our official theme song,
right?
At longevity. Let's think about living.
I don't worry about the guy with the switchblade knife. My 9mm Glock will take care of him quite easily.
Right.
Now, this is the one with the AK-47 that scares me.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, let's think about living and loving. The little testimonial about the guy that spoke, one of our patients. He's only been a patient for 3 months, but he said several things in there very quickly. One, his libido improved.
Mm-hmm.
That he felt better, had more energy. And the patient before that we just talked to, he'd been with us 17 years.
Yes.
This guy was only 3 months. That's just bringing up that we are not promising that longevity, that we'll just give you a magic pill and boom, you're going to be better.
No.
It has taken our patients sometimes decades to get in the boat they're in.
Well,
and sometimes,
it's an ongoing process, too.
Yes.
You know, the question I used to get asked, and I have not been asked this for years, and I'm not quite sure why people stopped asking, but the question was, you know, what happens if we go on the program and we stop? And I had to explain, this is not, you know, a science fiction movie. If you stop taking your medications, you don't turn into a pile of steaming green ooze on the floor. All you do is you stop getting the benefits of that endocrine support.
Yeah.
And you will, over a period of time, revert to your natural age function.
Yeah.
You know, your bones will start to thin out, your muscles will start to shrink, your brain will start shriveling up again. You know, your libido will fade away. You become an it instead of a he or a she. But, you know, it's you basically become what you were designed to be at that age. So you have to recognize the average older American is, if they're normal, are supposed to be slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless. And if that's your goal for life, go for it. But if you want to be strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy, well, then you need some intervention.
As long as possible, you bet. In fact, we have it happen. You may not be, you know, you're right. We haven't been asked that on the radio in ages. I can't remember when. But it happens all the time. We have patients that become patients. They're very happy. They start feeling wonderful. And maybe 2 or 3 years later, they say, well, hey, I'm feeling really good. And they stop.
Yeah, and they don't need it. Yeah, they
That's
think
right.
they've accomplished it. And they quit. And then 6 months later, they call us back.
That's right. Do we have to, can we just resume? And we say, yes, you
come
can.
Come on back. We still love you.
That happens all the time. And it's kind of understandable. You redevelop your Superman complex.
Yes. And you think this is now your new normal.
Yeah.
And it is your new normal as long as you stay on therapy.
Yeah.
But when you go off therapy, you revert to that other version of normal that's not so sweet.
That's right. Again, the first step for you folks just might be the simple step of making a free health analysis appointment. That's why we do it. Here's the process. When you come in for a free health analysis appointment, we do a little blood test. We do the special in-body test, which is very fascinating. Tells us all kinds of things about you. And then with that information, basically, Jerry, that's when they can make an intelligent decision. But even then, that's not when they make a full decision to become a long-term patient at longevity.
You make your decision to be a long-term patient year by year by year by year.
Yeah.
You know, over a long term.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Let me tell folks a story, and I've done this before, so if you've heard it, bear with me. Oh, you're saying I have 1 minute.
Well, about.
Oh, dear. Well, I'll wait and do it after the commercial, because well, it's a three-minute story.
Yeah, maybe you better, because we, by law, have to take a break at
yes,
the top
we do.
Of the hour.
And I do not want the powers that be to come arrest me because I talked through the break.
That's right. Let's not do that. It's a station ID. It's an FCC thing. It's just the way it is. But it's just a 2-3 minute break. They do a little news at the top of the hour and 570 KVI and the station ID. And but then we'll be back before you know it. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, give a call right now, because actually we have, what do we have? We have two lines open right now. Call us at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. In the meantime, during the break, why don't you go to our website, lmclinic.com, and make a free health analysis appointment. Like I said, I've got a good supply of them through the middle of October. That's cool. Good selection. And you get $100 of free supplements or the two free fitness books and the fitness bands, your choice, at lmclinic.com. So we'll be back before you know it.